Bright sunshine Saturday, high 97. Richard DeWedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Good morning. Welcome in. It's a Thursday edition of Inside the Locker Room. Not too bad out there heat-wise this morning. I'm not sure where it's headed, but not too bad out there this morning. Download the app. Get that Tide 100.9 app. Get that on your smartphone. Take us with you anywhere you go. Also, send us an app message throughout the show. If you want to dial us up, 205-342-9904. Email wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. We want to thank Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. If you want to build a five-star backyard, then Yellowwood would be your only choice there. Go to yellowwood.com to find a dealer closest to you. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. JC, as usual, will join us at the bottom of the hour. Excuse me. Look forward to having him and talk to him about college football. It's about, well, what, 9 days away till week zero gets started. There are some high school football, or one high school football game tonight. I know Northridge travels over to ACA. Good morning, Chase. How are you, sir? Good. Good morning, Dad. How are you this morning?
I'm doing okay. Of course, this is fault season. You think this, you think that. You just try to decide what's going to happen. For you people listening to our show, if you're trying to decide who's going to win the national championship, and that's what we're all trying to decide, who's going to win the Big Ten, who's going to win the SEC, the three things you need to look at, that's the players that they have, the coaching of the team, and the schedule. Those are the most important things that you look at to see exactly what's going to happen. Twins beat the Braves 6-4. We'll mention that. So as we stand now, Texas has put four players on the AP All-American teams prior to getting ready to play. Texas and Ohio State, they say have the best personnel of the two teams in each league. So we'll see what happens there. My personal pick is for Indiana to win the Big Ten because I think of the schedule, and for Georgia, which everybody picked, of course, to win the SEC. So we'll see what happens there. Tomorrow we'll have Jack Crow on to talk about some offense. Barry's already mentioned who we got on today. And the FedEx Cup, 50 players will go to St. Louis and 30 will come out. There's already 22 pretty much locked in. 30 will come out. It's a great time for golf to see. It's going to be the championship, you know, in the championship tour last 30. So we'll see what happens there. There's something on the borderline, but should be very interesting to see these guys go to St. Louis with 50 going in and 30 coming out. They had 70 in Memphis, and outside of Memphis, 50 came out, and now 30 is going to come out. That's about it. We welcome your calls. Happy for you to call us and tell us what you think about who's going to do what, why. Alabama did have the one kid, the defensive back on the All-American team, and he's certainly a good player, Hubbard kid. And Auburn did have one also, Xavier Adkins, the linebacker from Auburn, was on the All-American team, a preseason All-American team. Those two from Alabama and Auburn. That's it.
There's a judge in Louisiana that granted eligibility to, I think 16 yep. football players. Three of them are starters at Ole Miss. One of them at LSU. Some of them are in NFL training camps now. And if they can get out of their contracts at the NFL, they want to go back to college. So, I guess these colleges have semester start in the middle of the semester. I guess you just enroll in college now, back in college anytime you want to. Now, so there's going to be some guys coming back. I don't know. I think Greg Sankey had kind of said to follow the rules, but I see Auburn picked up a receiver, and South Carolina's got a kid that was eligible. I guess these players got in on this lawsuit in Louisiana, so I don't really understand it, but now 16 players can go back if the NFL will let. Would you bring a player back at this point? I guess if you had a position of need, maybe you would. If you didn't and you had a couple of guys get hurt, you'd be wishing you did. So, but these guys have been working. They're 2 weeks into practice, and all of a sudden you're going to start bringing new players. It may work for basketball because basketball doesn't really start until November, but are you for bringing back football players this late in the process, the 2022 guys are trying to get this fifth year?
I don't think so. I don't see any point in that. Whatever. You need to make a hard, fast rule and lead it that way rather than trying to walk around the edges, and that's what they try to do in everything that they do. We're in a process of people getting pretty disgusted with the way things are going because money's the main factor, and now that you've got another year of eligibility, you can make more money doing that than you can in the NFL. That's trouble.
Well, those guys probably on these NFL teams, they probably know where they stand, and they know they're probably some of them probably know they're going to probably get cut, so they'd rather go ahead and get out now. I don't know. I think people are just ready for football to start and have your team out there. They're tired of hearing who's coming and who's going, and just get the season going so we can focus on the play and not the players moving around. I just sense a lot of people are tired of this. It's just so hard. Like that. Asked Kevin yesterday, what's the rule? Because I don't even know. It sounds like it depends on what lawsuit you're involved with. And so a Louisiana judge, now he's deciding who can and cannot play college football. We got to somehow, the Save College Act, got to get the courts out of college athletics. If they don't do that, then they're going to eventually lose the fan. And so if that's what they want to do, then that's what they can do. All right, we got a couple calls coming in. I'll tell you what, instead of running them right up to the break, we'll take the break, we'll get back. That'll give us plenty of time until we get to the 7:30 guest, which would be JC. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We move right along on the roadways. Still looking at favorable conditions on Lurline Wallace 359 as you travel in both the north and southbound lanes between 2059 and McFarland. That long stretch is all green for go.
The perfect upgrade. They'll guide you every step, answering your questions. Shop today and save big during the best sale of the year. They make sleep easy.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Well, maybe a chapter longer. Performance is so good, you'll give love a second chance. Audible. Stories that speak to you.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
The Thursday edition of The Game, we're going to have a chance to feature Hugh Miller, former NFL quarterback. He's going to help us understand why this Kalen DeBoer offense is so quarterback friendly. We're going to recap the second scrimmage of fall camp. We'll do that. Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com, Kalen DeBoer audio that you need to hear. And we'll also talk with another SEC quarterback. So two quarterbacks on The Game starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. We'll see sunshine here today on the watch for afternoon thunderstorms. Blistering hot near 100 degrees and a heat advisory up today. Feeling like 110 with a heat index, a westerly breeze. Cloudy, sticky, early storm chances tonight down to 75. Sunny, another round of afternoon storms tomorrow. High tomorrow, 96. Bright sunshine Saturday, high 97. Richard DeWedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 76 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Yes! Roll Tide all the time.
This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
The home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want. 205-342-9904 is the number. Those guys will be scrimmaging today. I hear people say, whatever happens today, that's going to determine. So I just can't believe that. I think these guys have, you don't do all this work and it comes down to one scrimmage. Now it might weigh in, but I just don't see how it would come down to just this scrimmage as to whether you're the starter or not, but maybe so. All right, get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Philip?
And Philip.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all?
Good.
Okay. Good, fine. Hey, Baron Wimp, when I read that yesterday about that judge in Louisiana, what it sort of reminded me of is these stories you hear, different communities where these police chiefs will get up at the podium and they'll say, well, folks, you know, we're having a little bit of a crime spree, but there's 11 people in the community that are causing 9% of the problem. And what I wanted to ask you is, do you think this is just, it's almost like the same thing. It's almost like a few people are dreaming up things to cause these eligibility issues and this extra year of playing and all that. That sort of reminds me of that.
Well, it just comes down to one thing, money.
You know, people are suing now. People used to sue to get to the NFL. Now they're suing to stay in college, Philip. They're suing to stay in college.
Yeah. Comes down to money. More money you can make in college.
So, and it, you know, in Louisiana, first of all, of course, this happened in other states, but you had a governor absolutely blasting how much they were paying the coach, all the different things where he got the guy fired. Then he brings in a coach and pays him more than what he was complaining about, saying they weren't going to do that anymore. So they just, I'm sure they're hoping LSU will pick up a couple of these players, I guess. I don't know. But Louisiana, I'm not shocked.
Right. When I read that yesterday, though, it almost came across as a – almost like they did it for clicks. It was just almost for attention. I don't know.
You don't think money had been involved in it, Clint Phillips?
Sure, I do. But I don't know. I'm hoping this thing is beginning to wind down a little bit, because I feel like yesterday people read that and they just threw their arms up in the air and just almost were just – they. I think everybody's reached a total point of exasperation with some of these almost like clickbait-type stories. Do y'all agree?
I mean, I don't understand.
Here's
what I understand. Like Sankey says, but we're going to proceed with caution. But then you see Auburn picking up a guy. You see these schools picking up guys. So what does that mean? We're going to proceed with caution. And so now these players are there. Is there still a chance they could be ruled ineligible? I guess since with the temporary order, I guess they could be there until they're not. But how do these guys just start getting in school? Usually getting in school is a very difficult thing. It's a process. Now they just turn them over so fast, and I guess they just all of are adjusting to the new normal in college football. Now, if the guy goes back to where he was, I know one of those guys played at LSU. One of the guys with the Tampa Bay Bucks had two sacks in the preseason game the other day. I don't know. I just don't understand anymore. It's a joke.
Yeah, I'll say this. I wasn't expecting that yesterday at 5:00. I was not expecting that.
Yeah. So now if you're a junior or you're a fourth year guy, you declare for the draft, and you get drafted and you get in there and you don't like it, can you just come back now? Because you got that fifth year now. So that fifth year.
And that's another thing I wanted to ask you about. Is this all related to the year 2022? Is that the stipulating factor, is that you had to be involved in the year 2022?
Yes.
Okay. So this will eventually end, right?
But maybe, but I'm saying, like, if you're let's say you've been in college 4 years, all right, you still have the fifth year. Let's say you get in the draft and you get drafted, and then you're going through training camp and you realize I'm probably not going to make the team. Are they opening the door for it? Well, the guy had the fifth year. He can go back now. Are we going to say once you get in the draft?
Well, I think so, because let's go back to yesterday morning when the SMU soccer player, I think it's a girl, she's doing just that. Now, she missed getting her name in the portal, which that's her fault. But she's come back and said, yeah, I know, but I've got that year of eligibility.
Yeah.
So based on that, yeah, your theory, your scenario is right. This can go on forever.
If you keep letting them do that, unless you say once you, if that new sports act says once they declare for the draft, once they're drafted or not drafted, once they declare, then they no longer can go back unless they can get that in this new sports act. Yeah. Because that fifth year, you know, these guys that come to Alabama, they're all think they're going pro after their junior year, but they still have 2 years left. So they try it, it doesn't work. They're going to want to go back because they make more money in college. Mm-hmm. And maybe it'll keep them from going if they're making that kind of money. So I heard a guy saying the other day, he was talking about baseball. He said, I would never give a freshman NIL money. Never. I'd give them a scholarship. If they came and they played well, then I would give them money the second year. If they don't come and they go to another college and they play lights out, then I would go after them because I'd have a lot. If I had a bunch of money, like I'm from LSU, I would wait till the guy goes to college, proves himself, and then I would go after him in the portal. I would never give a freshman money. I would just wait until they improve, till they prove themselves. And he's probably not wrong about that.
No, I don't think he is either.
Yeah.
How realistic that is, I don't know, but I think he's right.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Anyway, hey, I appreciate you, guys.
Thank you, Phil. All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike. Good morning. Hey, coaches. How are y'all doing?
Good. How are you, Mike?
Doing great. I have a quick question. I'm a long-time old high school basketball coach, and we used to worry, be concerned about our players, academics, getting eligible, what it took to get eligible. What are the eligibility requirements now for admission to college for athletes? Do they have any standardized test scores they have to meet? Academics, GPAs, or anything? And do you ever hear now of anybody becoming ineligible, say, over a summer? They don't do enough or whatever. Do y'all know, are there any requirements now, pretty much, about getting in school as an athlete? And is the term scholar athlete gone?
You would think that the Vanderbilts and the Stanfords would have certain rules because they're so academic minded, but we don't ever talk about that on the radio. We don't talk about it. We just assume that they're getting in. But I don't know. Well, that's the reason they can't get the kind of players that everybody else gets because they've got such academic standards or not. It's a good question. Fair.
They used to have the sliding test score. If you had this GPA,
yeah,
and this is the test score you had to have. I think all that's gone away. You used to have some, when you transferred, you had to have a certain percentage towards a degree. There's no way that's, I don't know. But I don't see how these guys transfer and play at five schools and have the percentage towards a degree. You weren't eligible. So, you were literally almost begging your admissions office to take some course that was borderline to make sure it went towards a degree. And it literally would come down to the admissions office where they would count that. They would take the hours, but did the hours go towards whatever your degree was? And that's why a lot of times you had these guys in these ridiculous majors that they were never going to use, but you were just trying to keep them on track going towards a degree. That's over.
Well, Barry, Coach Saban always, made such a big deal about graduation and all his players graduating. But, I mean, does that even matter now, the graduation rate? I mean, because these guys are pro athletes, right, now?
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting money for playing. And kids, would you get sued if you dismiss one from a team or something like that for – not making academic progress to a degree? Could you actually do that? Because don't they have a contract?
Could an athlete sue you for not
admitting? Yeah.
Yeah. At this point, is LeBron James eligible to go back to college? He never played in college.
Yeah.
Does he have 5 years?
I think the Supreme Court, when they went 9-0 for NIL, had no concept at all about what that was going to turn into. I mean, look where we are now. It's amazing. And again, I hear these guys talk about student athletes in college now, and are they really students? I mean, they're working for the University of Alabama or wherever they are. And it's gotten to be an amazing thing.
Yeah.
Are they there to get an education or just play football or basketball?
Well, Lenore Sellers, he's finished all his classes, so he has an internship, and he's an internship at a golf range. That's what his internship, just to be there for that. That's what he used to do.
Was the quarterback at Georgia that went to Miami, and he said he hadn't taken a class in, what, 2 years?
Well, yeah, Carson Beck. I think he hadn't been to class. Or maybe these guys, and I had to smack my son around a little bit. These guys, these online classes, like they don't ever have to go. He's got one or two online classes. And I mean, one of them is like women's studies. I get it. But, but I mean, there's so many online courses. You literally don't even have to step foot on the campus. You can graduate, Mike. So I hope, I'd like for my doctor to at least have to go into the field and do a little bit. I don't want my doctor to get all his classes online. Do you?
Yeah, no. I mean, that's a great point. And, I just was interested in that. If you have to have an ACT of 17,
I'll check on that and see if that's still a thing. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Hey, thank y'all so much. Great show.
Thank you. All right, Alabama Pro Wash, they know you're proud of your property, but the dirt, mold, grime on your brick, stucco, or siding can make even the most well-cared-for home or business seem neglected. Their services include residential, commercial cleaning, low-pressure soft washing, window cleaning, shingle restoration. They can clean up all that concrete, the driveway, the sidewalks. They have a drone. They can go get the hard-to-get areas. Give them a call today for the free estimate, 205-799-9069. My man Andy Henson with Alabama Pro Wash. Listen, Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC, is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center, and we move right along here inside of your now primetime ride. If you're traveling on 2059 on the westbound lanes, however, right at Skyland Boulevard, you've got a little bit of a delay on that exit ramp, and it's starting to thicken up just a little here on 43 southbound onto McFarland. Nothing major. Also, Skyland in, or make that 69 in both directions at Skyland. That's moving smooth. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, Tammy Thomas.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
340 or visit skilledtradesofwestalabama.com to apply. Skilled Trades of West Alabama. Learn a trade, build a career. Must be 19 to 32 for day trade school.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room right here on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker. Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. All right, to the Yellowwood Hotline. He has his podcast. He's also with On3. He'll tell you about all the stuff that he has going on at the end of the segment. JC Sherbert. Good morning, JC. How are you, buddy?
Good morning.
Good
to be with you.
Right up.
In the Big Ten, is it possible for Indiana to coach, you know, what you look for in a team that's going to win the league is players and coaching and the schedule. I picked Indiana. Everybody picked Georgia in the SEC. Is it possible that Indiana because of their schedule and the other two things I mentioned, is going to be a bigger factor than Ohio State in the Big Ten.
I don't know about than Ohio State. I mean, I think Ohio State's awfully good. I think they play this year in Bloomington. The Indiana schedule starts off. I mean, I've seen non-conference basketball schedules in the SEC in certain years, certain schools tougher. But then they get I think they get Ohio State, Michigan back to back, or Penn State or somebody. But look, I don't doubt those guys anymore. I'll still maintain I didn't think their 2024 team was all that good. But that team last year was one of the best teams in college football. I mean, it was dominant. I mean, when you beat Alabama like that, you beat Oregon like that back-to-back, you beat a hot Miami team on their home field, you're a good, great football team. You know, they've got a new quarterback, Josh Hoover. He needs to not turn the ball over. That could kind of sideline them. He had a bad habit of that at TCU. They did get some guys out of the portal that, you know, the kind of the boost from the national championship, and so their talent, raw talent level is still there. They got good offensive linemen returning. That's key in the Big Ten. I think Indiana's in the mix, certainly. I don't think you're way off base picking them because, you know, if they beat Ohio State at home and you know, maybe they have to play them again, and that doesn't happen, but they could finish at the top of the standings pretty easily. Especially if they get off to a hot start, you know, and as they should with this schedule, and Hoover kind of works out the kinks, and they're back rolling and executing at a high level again. So I think Indiana's going to be at the very worst a pain in everybody's butt to play, and then I think they'll cycle up and be a contender for as long as Cignetti's there. I don't see that guy slowing down.
Yeah. JC, Greg Sankey told all the SEC teams to proceed with caution, follow the rules. We see every day these 2022s, a judge in Louisiana ruled a bunch of them eligible now. A couple of them are playing in the NFL. One of them had a couple sacks. I know South Carolina's lost some receivers for the season. I hate seeing guys lose guys for the season this early. I'm not sure how big a contributor those guys were, but will the SEC be taking these guys now? Are they eligible to go anywhere, even with what Greg Sankey said? I'm so lost with all this stuff right now, JC.
Yeah, that Louisiana one was interesting. You know, what I was told, and this is just coming from the perspective of one school, that, you know, the SEC is kind of recommending not to do this from the league office. Now, is it a suggestion or will they be penalties? I don't know. You know, I think some school, yeah, Mississippi State got those two defensive guys back already. So I think it's kind of up to the school. It's interesting it happened in Louisiana, I'll tell you that right now. But because they seem to have just thrown the eligibility rules out like a pot of old gumbo down in on the bayou. They don't really care about that. You look at what Will Wade's doing. It's unbelievable. So we'll see what happens. But I think there is some skepticism across the league that, you know, you may be wasting some time and in some cases money for guys that may not even be able to play. You know, once the season kicks off. So it's weird. It's weird because too, I just don't know. I don't even know the judges and stuff. It's a mess, man. It's a mess with all that. It's sad. I mean, I understand wanting to get the opportunity to play. Some of these guys are in NFL training camps right now. And it's like, well, what does that say about, I just don't care for it too much. But as far as what will happen, you know, the only thing I've heard concrete was that the SEC is recommending, hey, don't do this. But, you know, again, you can't, I don't know if they can stop them.
Well, what's going to keep it, maybe it's College Sports Act. So, you know, a lot of SEC guys, if they're legit, they go after 3 years. We've still got 2 years of eligibility now. So is that what we're going to see, guys? They play their third and fourth year. They test the waters in the draft. They get there. They realize they're not going to maybe make the team, and now they're trying to turn around and come back? Or is that what this sports act is trying to keep from happening?
I think you're trying to keep it from happening. You have to have deadlines, man. Coaches have to set their roster. You know, what I could see happening is maybe a basketball-style rule, because in basketball, you can test the waters right on up to the draft. You know, football, you have a hard deadline that's early. You know, you get to the combine. But then, you know, the NFL, how many of these guys are they going to invite to the combine that may go back to school? I mean, that's a waste of time. Only so many guys get invited to the combine. So a little bit different scenario. I would think the NFL would frown upon that a little bit. Just their league operates a little bit different than the NBA and Major League Baseball. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I just think that, hey, look, man, you know, if you're playing pro ball, go chase that. I certainly understand that, you know, some of these guys feel, you know, robbed of an extra year. But, you know, if you're going to implement new rules, it has to start somewhere, right? I mean, so I don't, you know, well, what are you going to, you know, go back in the 2020s and 2021s? They're going to say, you know, this guy that maybe ran out of eligibility, but he's been working at Gold's Gym as a trainer and he's in immaculate shape and can still play. You can bring him off the sidelines, you know. You can be like, it's like that movie Major League, you know. You just could get the guy from the state pen or a guy that's selling tires to come back. I mean, I don't, you know, when does it stop if you go down that slippery slope? So, I don't know. It's
you sound like you're about as tired of it as I am. You're about as tired.
The schools are the ones that you're going to have to – the coaches and the schools are the ones that are going to have to police this. So, and it's a simple thing. You know, if you're a school, everybody agrees to this, we're not taking them. They're not going to be on our roster, you know. But the problem is there'll be two or three that do it, you know. And so then it's a competitive advantage thing in theory. So you got to kind of have everybody to agree that this is not good for the game. And, yeah, I may need some depth at safety, but, you know, my allegiance to the game is a little bit more important than me needing an extra safety.
JC, we talked about this. Your dad, he actually agreed with me, and that really doesn't happen very often, us agree on this show. But and of course, they haven't played a game. But it seems like to me, JC, that Alex Golish is pushing all the right buttons to bring the Auburn players, the student body, the fans. He had the band in there. I know that's not a new thing, bringing your band in there, but they hadn't done it in 20 years. It's just whatever they're putting out on social media is making me believe that this group is getting tight down there. Now, we'll see if it translates to wins, but this guy seemed like a tough one. When they have a scrimmage, he's very critical of how, you know, much they need to improve. When Alabama does anything at practice, it's like their coach is praise, praise, praise. He's kind of getting after them a little bit. It's a different style down there. Do you see this guy kind of rallying the troops down there at Auburn right now more than it's been before in the past?
Yeah, I've always liked Alex Golish, man. I always thought, you know, what he did in South Florida, you know, he took over a tough situation, and that's always been a job that has been like the P word is potential, you know, but not many people have won there, you know, consistently at USF since Jim Leavitt, and he won, and he got them back to where they sort of needed to be. You know, you look at last year, they beat the crap out of Boise State. They beat Florida on the road, which is huge for that school. So he's an overperformer. And I think that's what Auburn thought they were getting with Hugh Freeze. But obviously, Coach Freeze was kind of on the downside of his career, to say the least. and it just did not work for whatever reason. I was shocked by it, but it didn't work. So this guy has come in with energy. I mean, Auburn, you know, you throw in the end of Miles on, that was 2020. And so for this whole decade, Auburn football has been the worst it's been in how many years? I mean, consistently. They don't even have very many winning seasons. They're a basketball school right now. And they didn't have a very good basketball season either. No offense to the NIT championship, Barry. But I think he's the right. I think he is a good coach and a good hire. Now, in my world, John Summerall was a better fit at Auburn, and Alex Golish was a better fit at Florida. And I'll go to my grave saying that, just because of the DNA of the Florida program, the DNA of the Auburn program. But I can't say that Auburn didn't get the better coach and that he won't be more successful at Auburn, if that makes sense. You know, so I think, you know, we were talking to Brett Ciancia from Pick Six Previews. He's real high on Auburn this year. He thinks 8 wins is attainable. And I think that'd be, considering where they've been, I think it'd be a heck of a season for Auburn to get to 8 with that schedule.
Yeah. Yep.
I was going to ask the same kind of question, but I was going to ask you about Auburn and Alabama, so I'll ask you about Alabama. They had a pathetic running game. We won't have an offensive coordinator on tomorrow, but about that, where do you, after looking at this, where do you think Alabama stands in improvement there, and does the lack of a running game hurt you? You probably don't know this, but in the passing game, because that's what they're going to go to. If that's the case, where does Alabama stand improving the running game, as best you can tell?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't hurt them last year in the passing game Ty Simpson had look, the NFL guys that the Rams had drafted him so high. I know it was a surprise that he was that high. There's a reason for that. I mean, he did some crazy good stuff last year, just as far as his mobility in the pocket, not necessarily running, but avoiding pressure, keeping his eyes downfield, and finding the open man. I mean, there were a lot of drops last year by, like, Ryan Williams and stuff, or he'd had even more. And he held up under pressure and all that. But it didn't hurt him last year so much. They were a team. Really, last season's Alabama team sort of just was a team that found a way to win. You look at the win at Georgia, you know, the win at South Carolina. You know, they lost a close one to Oklahoma, but they found a way out in Norman to kind of reverse that. And then that's, you know, that was a positive sign. But this year you got a different quarterback. Now, if they go with Keelon Russell, which all the reports out there say that's where it's heading, so – I don't know that I'm totally buying it, but you know, he's the guy that can get things done with his legs. And so what I think the key is, you know, if you can have him manufacture rushing yards, then it takes pressure off your running backs to go out there and be the whole show. Like Daniel Hill, you know, he won't have to go out and rush for 200 yards a game because you're just kind of, you know, you're getting 200 anyway because Russell's got 75 or whatever. So, you know, the key is it's going to come down to this. I think it's their offensive line. Did they rebuild it? Is it better? You know, I like some of the portal guys they got. They do replace a lot. I like their center quite a bit. But that was an issue last year in the run game. And it really in the pass game, too, because teams would come in and pressure Simpson. But he found a way to kind of sidestep and get the ball off a lot of times. So, Alabama is one of the more fascinating teams, and I did a deep dive into their depth chart the other day, and I mean, I just, you know, it looks like a Kalen DeBoer team, you know, some guys you've never heard of, some guys that should be pretty good, and some guys they've developed. So it's his team now. There's very little remnants of Nick Saban on that depth chart, so it's going to be intriguing to find out, and I think the first three or four are winnable, certainly. But they're not all like cream puffs. East Carolina's not a cream puff. Kentucky on the road won't be a cream puff. Florida State won't be a cream puff. And South Carolina certainly won't be. So I think we'll know a lot first four because that's those are bigger challenges than say, you know, what Indiana's going to have to face in the first four.
Well, he wasn't that type quarterback at Washington before he left, and after the athletic director at Alabama had also had hired him, he wasn't big with that type of quarterback that Russell is. I forget the kid's name now, but
Penix.
I think that was a big factor in people being excited about getting Kalen DeBoer. I like him a great deal, and I hope he does well. But he's been able to win, you know, with that kind of quarterback.
Yeah, Keon Russell, like when Alabama got him, like he was one of my favorite recruits in that class. Texas quarterbacks are very, very good in the pass game because in the high school football out there, they've been doing, probably 30 years, they've been doing 7-on-7 spread offenses. You get a guy from Texas, he's usually a little better at throwing the ball than maybe a kid from another state. The nuance of the passing game, because they just rep it over and over. Plus, he's got wheels. Grubb and DeBoer like to throw it, right? So he's got to be able to master that and execute their passing offense, in my opinion. But I think the tools are all there. I mean, we could easily be talking about Keelon Russell after 4 weeks as being one of the best players in the country. I mean, that's not out of the question. I think he's got that much talent. But we just have to see how it all evolves, you know, with the players around him and what exactly they're doing. And then how many lumps does he take as a first-time starter if he's the guy?
Where's South Carolina? Talk a little bit about the injuries that they had. All injuries are bad. Were those guys projected to be starters? I know one guy transferred from Oklahoma. One of them, I think, was Lenore Sellers' brother. Where does South Carolina stand right now health-wise, JC?
Yeah, I mean, those two were very unfortunate because Jaden Sellers, he started playing, like, midway through the year. I think it's the Oklahoma or Alabama game. And when he was in, he produced better than any other receiver on the roster as far as, you know, being able to catch 4, 5, 6 balls a game. He was supposed to start and fly. He's a heck of a ball player. And so that stings because, you know, just from a production standpoint, you know, Carolina's got a lot of talented guys. They probably have in their room 9 of the 12 or 4-star or higher out of high school. Didn't get talked about a lot, but that's the truth. But they haven't produced. So, you know, the question is, you know, you don't want to sit there and downplay it. But then some years at South Carolina, guys, if they lose a player like that that's a projected starter, there is a big drop-off. It's depth. And we know in the SEC that's why you want depth, because injuries are part of it. And South Carolina does have Mazio Bennett, who – off a long touchdown on 4th and 10 in Tuscaloosa as a true freshman in that game. He actually led the room in receptions as a freshman. Had a terrible year last year. We don't know what was wrong with it, but he's back and he's in the slot. They got a guy named Sequel Patterson that's pretty good. And then the other receiver positions are pretty well stacked. With Gibson, you know, he's about a 6'5", 215-pound guy. And you know, Nick Harbor is a big receiver. Nick's not that kind of jump ball, pogo stick, go up and get it guy. He's more of a, I always tell Carolina people, he's Troy Williamson and Alshon Jeffrey's body. He's more of a sprinter. And so it hurts from the standpoint of he was something they didn't have, but are there players that can go in and take his place? Yes. The other injuries, which these guys are not out for the season, but Chris Lowe reported yesterday on All-3 that they will miss the openers. Jacarius Peak, who was the top transfer portal offensive tackle, and then Dylan Stewart, of course, their All-American DN, they had some off-season injuries, and Dylan's goes back to last year. But they're hoping to get those guys back for SEC play. They've got Kent first game and then Towson the second game. So they won't risk those guys unless they're miraculously 110% ready to go. So that's the injury situation, and then they have some bumps and bruises like everybody, but nothing that's kind of season altering at this point.
Where's Clemson? You don't hear much about them right now.
Listen, I was thinking about them the other day, and my friends are going to disagree with me. I'm not going to be shocked if they beat LSU in the opener.
Me either.
I mean, just think about it, Barry. I mean, here's a program in Clemson. Yes, they were down last year, and yes, they lost a lot of really good players. 9 NFL draft picks gone. Dabo does not use the portal. He did this time around. And they got like 3 or 4 guys from the secondary that I think, I mean, one's from Old Dominion, one's from Penn State. I think these guys are going to be better than people think. What the strength of their team is going to be is they got really good wideouts as long as they don't get anybody hurt. And they've got 2 very fast running backs, like fast. And so they go in there, and maybe LSU's not as together on defense or together as a team, and everybody's going to be talking about Lane Kiffin, and the crowd's going to be like my buddy from Georgia got hit in the face with a ham sandwich, full mustard, mayonnaise, and everything, walking in. They're going to be throwing ham sandwiches at Dabo, and programs like that are successful, that have coaches like him. You saw it when Frank Beamer took Virginia Tech to Ohio State in an opener and cut them. They're sitting there feeling disrespected. Dabo plays that card as better as anybody. And they have the players, if LSU is not quite fine-tuned, they have the players go in there and win. So I think they're about a 12.5-point underdog, probably load up on Clemson right now. And that's nothing more than a gut feeling and looking at it, neutrally.
Yeah.
Now, look, I think they're going to finish about 8-4, though. I mean, I'm not, there's no Hosannas being proclaimed near Memorial Stadium right now. I'm just saying, for that game, I don't trust that he's going to be this coronation of Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, there you go. There's your blue plate.
Well, I already know all about that stuff. I got it all.
He's down a little bit, JC.
I'm not down.
His blue plate was cracked last year. He cracked his plate. We're trying to get it put back together. So he was not going to pick a game in week 0. Now he says he's already got it picked. You see any winners there in week 0, JC?
How about that?
Whatever the over under is for North Carolina, TCU, and Ireland, I think I'm
7.5.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the over-under. And 7.5, I'd probably take. And I'll tell you why. Nobody's talking about this. In kind of an ironic thing, if you think about the two coaches' love lives off the field, Bobby Petrino is now the OC at North Carolina.
Yeah. TCU is a 7.5-point favorite. He said over-under, though. The over-under is 47.5, JC.
Yeah, I'd take the over, man, because, Sonny Dykes going to mix it up, try to score a bunch. North Carolina's D coordinator's been Steve Belichick. He's been
checking
out.
Oh.
But Bobby Petrino can manufacture offense now. I mean, that guy, say what you want about him, he can still dial him up like no other.
I'm going to tell you who Dad's going to pick.
Let me tell you something else. Do you think there's a storm in Hawaii?
That's where he's going, JC.
Do you think the storm in Hawaii affects the Stanford game? I do.
Probably, yeah.
Stanford's a 5.5-point favorite. Has Hawaii been able to practice over there with the weather?
Yeah,
that's it.
Because
that state will lock you down in a heartbeat.
See, they're
smarter
than they think I am.
You don't think Vegas has factored that in, JC?
No.
I don't know, man. Stanford lost last time they went down there, though. I mean, they lost. So, Timmy Chang is, I think, the coach at Hawaii. He's a legend. So, I always pull for Hawaii, man. They love football out there, but that's interesting on Stanford. I don't know how much better they are this year. I mean, I just, you know, the coaching hire they made, I don't know.
How about while we're picking your
crowd at all at Stanford? Do they have any kind of crowd?
No, they won't.
I'm thinking this, JC, Memphis. Now, Memphis has a lot of guys that played in JUCO. They're transfer. When they're going to go to Vegas, they're going to be hanging out, JC. They're playing UNLV at 9 o'clock on Fox. That'll be 7 o'clock out there. I think Memphis is not going to get any rest. And UNLV cover the six.
I think UNLV cuts them because their coach Charles Huff, third job in 3 years. There was a lot of transition. There's a lot of JUCO players on the roster, and Dan Mullen has a quarterback. His quarterback's Jackson Arnold, if you remember him.
Oh yeah, is he? Is that who?
In that offense and at that level, I think old Jackson Arnold could do some things, man. Just don't have him throw a pass, but Dan Mullen doesn't care.
Yeah.
He won't he'll just let him run it. I mean, it's not
Is he gonna be the starter?
Not a big deal. Last I read, I think he was projected. I need to read up on that. I don't want to be
These Auburn people predicting. When they played Baylor, he ran all over Baylor. We finally got us a quarterback. And then, of course, we know that it did not go well from there on out.
Yeah,
so, anyway, I'm just trying to give you some scenario. I think Memphis is going to be in the casinos. So we'll see. JC, tell everybody where they can find you.
All right, go to on3.com. Visit my friend Tim Watts, BamaOnline.com. If you're a Tide fan, we're running a special now, guys. So you pay $29.99 right now, and you don't have to pay another dime for On3, Bama Online, Auburn, whatever, until this time next year when we're talking about the 2027.
Wow, that is a deal.
That gets you $2.50 a month. It's the best national college football coverage. All this NIL stuff, you know, they're going. Pete and Ross Dellinger, all the people that work with us are going to take care of you. So I would encourage everybody, because it's not going to last forever. I mean, we can't sit here and lose a bunch of money on this deal. So it's not going to last forever, but everybody check that out on On3.
Thank you, JC.
Thanks, JC.
Thanks, fellas.
All right. Sorry we went right through that, but storms in Hawaii, the casinos in UNLV, all our theory behind-the-scenes theories. Chase, that means go the other way. All right, we want to thank Yellowwood pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Phone lines will be open at 8 o'clock hour, 205-342-9904.
TBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Martin Weiss.
The Athletic reporting that Colts tight end Tyler Warren left practice early. He appeared to injure his groin. Los Angeles Chargers starting center Tyler Biadasz out indefinitely after injuring his ACL and the other parts of his left knee. Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive tackle Vita Vea agreed to a one-year $30 million extension. And Commanders defensive tackle Johnny Newton out indefinitely as he tore his pectoral. Peyton Watson is going to the Cleveland Cavaliers on a trade. Max Strus going to the Los Angeles Clippers, and the Denver Nuggets receiving a 2031 Cavaliers first-round pick and 2032 Kings second-round pick. Watson will sign a new four-year, $88 million deal to join the Cavaliers. That deal will include both a player option and a trade kicker, per Shams Charania. In the WNBA, AZ Foote, Dallas Wings rookie, will undergo arthroscopic right knee surgery next week and miss the remainder of this season.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Okay, we're getting a little more volume in the area right now, but not too much so. If you're traveling on Lurline Wallace and McFarland, that intersection looks pretty normal to me. 43 southbound onto McFarland, pretty much same situation. Your traffic light delay.
This is what happens when you don't sponsor your job on Indeed. Next time, get matched with quality candidates with Indeed sponsored jobs. Visit Indeed.com/hire now and sponsor your job today.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. We'll see sunshine here today, on the watch for afternoon thunderstorms. Blistering hot near 100 degrees and a heat advisory up today. Feeling like 110 with a heat index and westerly breeze. Cloudy, sticky early storm chances tonight down to 75. Sunny, another round of afternoon storms tomorrow. High tomorrow 96. Bright sunshine Saturday, high 97. Richard DeWedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to the second hour of Inside the Locker Room. Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to TuscaloosaToyota.com. You can do it all right there at the website. You can start your trade-in. Put the information in, and they'll get all that started. You can also look at the new inventory, the pre-owned inventory. You can schedule a service. Try it before you buy it. Rent that Toyota. And you can take it to football games if you're traveling. But are you swinging by Skyline Boulevard? Find Justin and tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, how do you utilize this second scrimmage? I hear people say, well, the job's going to be won today. I just don't see how that's possible. I think you look at maybe different combinations. You look at a defense maybe that has more speed, more size. I think you look at different combinations as to what you want to have on the field at the same time. You bring your frontline guys over there and you play those guys together, but you look at some different combinations and stuff over there on both sides.
Well, what happens here is what Nick Saban said. So much is the people surrounding the quarterback. And so what you do here, you look at the people surrounding the quarterback. You look at the offensive line, you look at the backs, you look at everybody that sort of, you look at the center snapping the ball, all those kinds of, you look and see everything that surrounds the quarterback. You take a look at, you look at the quarterback, of course, and you know, you making some decisions there, and they're quiet, private decisions. You may, with your offensive coordinator and head coach, go and say, what do you think? I don't think they'll act like that. I think they'll just talk it out. But surrounding the quarterback is what made Alabama so successful. Quarterback was good, but the surrounding people were good too. So I think that's what you try to study. Now, people that want to analyze and decide exactly what's going to happen, they just analyze a quarterback, period. The coaches don't do that.
I just can't imagine that they're going to decide the quarterback based on this scrimmage. I think they already know who they're going with. You're not going to, I mean, you've done all this practicing. It's going to come down to this one scrimmage as to who you're going to, this off a scrimmage. Certainly they built up a book of business there over the last few weeks. And, you know, I think they got to look at some different scenarios in the scrimmage of, you know, time and score and doing some stuff like that. Obviously the running back, you got a lot of guys in the running back room, but they can't lose anymore. If you got Crowell, we'll see if he scrimmages. Deer's obviously out, so that gets you a little gun shy as far as getting guys injured, but I don't guess you can practice football and that way. You got to go for it. That's just part of the deal. There, the different combinations on the offensive line, And so, Kane Womack, the way he talks, and I'm sure he will, like, it's all his decision. Now, he probably does get suggestions from the position groups. Does he meet with the position groups, and are they doing this daily, like who's ahead, who's there, and then how do they decide on who's who and who starts?
They decide by the defensive staff being there with the defense coordinator running the show. And they will have separate meetings of just the defensive people there, all the defensive backfield coaches and so forth and so on, people that they want there. And then they'll have offensive meetings as well, and then they'll combine the two together. But that's the way they've always done it, because I was there for 32 years, and I watched four coaches coach football. And so I sort of think I know what I'm talking about. So that's what they do. And the names stick out to us and to our listeners, you know, about who the one person who is going to be the quarterback. And I think it's an opportunity. And as I've said, now the opening game is bad name, good team. So you got to be ready to play. It's not one of these deals where the callers can call in and say, well, that's that first game, we'll have an idea. That's when the first game first. That's a big thing. So the offensive coordinators, if you don't like Coyle, because he hadn't played any.
Oh, I don't dislike him. Just saying, but
when you start naming names and forget what I said, and forget surrounding people, and you just want to name names, we got a couple of other guys that Philip never mentioned. It's hard to name names of guys who've been successful and haven't been. So that's two ways to look at it.
Yeah, I just had a hard time believing that they're going to win the job today. I think they know, and they're just going to confirm it. Hopefully nobody gets hurt. You know, injuries does move. They do move the depth chart around for sure, obviously. So we'll see. All right, we'll get to the Yellowwood hotline here and bring Tom in. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, morning, Coach. How are y'all?
Hey, good.
Hey, Tom, that thing you sent me on Scotty just shows what kind of person he is. And he's the best.
I thought that was very interesting.
He just said, we were more interested in being nice to people. Golf was important. If we won, good. I practiced a lot more than anybody else practiced. So what I wrote back to you was he was a good kid and also became a better human being. As sometimes you try to decide whether a guy is any good or not by the look on their face. That's what they do with me all the time. I have a bad look on my face. I think I'm no good. But behind the scenes, I try to be as good as I can. And I think behind the scenes for him, he's good up front, but you also, when you see something like that, him just saying that, my family wanted me to be friends with people and treat them right, and winning golf is big, but not that big. Go ahead.
Well, that's interesting. I saw it that way as well. And it's obvious that his parents were more interested in him being a good person first, and then the golf second. You're exactly right. And I thought it was interesting, too. He said they probably had to go to more golf tournaments than they actually wanted to go. I got a kick out of that one, too. But
that was pretty good. Yeah,
I read an article that was in one of the Dallas, it might have been some kind of, I don't know anymore about newspapers. You pick up articles off of Twitter. Anyway, Matsuyama moved to Dallas. And so he told Scotty, he said, I'd like to join your club. And Scotty told him, said, well, I'll hook you up with the person that you need to talk to to get you a membership. So they did that, and he got his membership, and he got talking about how bad Scotty beats him on that course right there. And I got a kick out of that. I should have sent you that.
That is funny when he's talking about that. He said, you can't beat him on his home course. You know what I like about Scotty, though, is he talks about he still plays with his buddies and, you know, guys. Yeah. And I got to give him 20 strokes. He said, but it's so fun.
Yeah,
so I still beat him with 20, but these guys are talking smack to Scotty out there. He's giving him 20 strokes. The fact that he still plays with his boys like that on the weekends when he's not playing in a tournament, to me, says all you need to know about what kind of guy Scotty Scheffler.
I agree. He, but, you know, he said, man, some of them, I have to give them 2 strokes a hole.
Yeah. He said, and they take them, too. They take those strokes.
Yeah. They want some of that money. They seen those big old checks he's been cashing, and so they want to get a little cut out of it, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
But, yeah, Coach, I enjoyed that excerpt that he had, and more and more, I got a lot. You know, I've always liked him, but more and more, I got respect for him and what he's about. So, Barry, I enjoyed that part too. And but I was going to ask y'all on the scrimmage today. Sometimes do you think maybe a friend of mine pointed this out last week? He said, you know, you're belly aching and crying and going on about the lack of offense. He said, has it ever dawned on you that the defense, they brought in people that actually helped them improve and they're much better than they were last year, and you're up here bitching and moaning about the defense, and then they have a good day, and then you just say, oh, we ain't got no offense. And I think that he may have a good point, but at the same time, do you think they would adjust the defense a little bit to see what they have on, in other words, kind of give the offense a little breathing room?
What they'll do is they'll run the one offense against the 2 defense or the 3 defense.
That's what you want done.
Yeah, you run the ones versus the 2s or the 3s, and that way you don't say that publicly, or you don't say that to your team. Your staff decides who the 2 defense is, and you put them in there rather than the 1s to see if the offense is better than you think it is.
I always laugh when they talk about this. Is not a scrimmage where they kick the ball off and play it where it lies. I mean, they work on certain situations. So they may be working on goal line, and a guy may score a touchdown. Well, yeah, but it wasn't like they took an 80-yard drive and took it down and scored a touchdown. They were on the goal line, down there working on goal line, but a guy got through. So you have to kind of take some of these stats and stuff.
Yeah, if you know it.
Sure.
But, you know, I think about this. I was talking to somebody years ago, and David Palmer. Coach Stallings had a scrimmage, and David Palmer had 780 yards of all-purpose yards against the 92 defense. And Cecil Hurt, I talked to him about it. I had heard that. I didn't know if it was true or not. And I asked Cecil Hurt about it, and he said, yeah, this was after Coach Stallings had decided to retire and all, like, it's kind of after the fact. He said, yeah, he said, that's pretty much true, that David Palmer decimated that entire team, special teams, defense, everything. And I said, 700-something yards? He said, pretty much. He said, but here's the interesting thing. He said, he ran a roughshod up and down the field all afternoon. Coach Stallings had let Cecil Hurt and a select few of press people come in and watch a scrimmage. And he said, about 3/4 of the way through that scrimmage, here come Coach Stallings over there, and he said, you better not write a word of this down and put it in an article. I don't want to see this in the newspaper or nothing. And Cecil said that Bill Oliver and all of them, they thought, we got the worst defense in the history of football. One guy, one guy come out here and made us look like a bunch of clowns.
Just be glad he's on your team.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But they didn't know. You know, it turns out the 92 defense was all world at every position.
Yeah.
But Coach, he told me, I could see him coming over there to that section they were sitting at and pointing that finger and telling them, you better not write a word in this in an article. But anyway, all right, I appreciate it. I like the show.
Thank you, Tom. All right, we'll take the break here. But the phone line is 205-342-9904. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We move, well, pretty, not too shabby here. We got 43, the usual happenings on the southbound lanes to McFarland. That is going to slow you down back to Cardinal Street. And also moving up in Northport, 69 southbound at Union Chapel Road. I'm seeing some pretty heavy brake lights.
Battery testing, free battery charging and replacement. Batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes them America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside.
What about credit? If you've got a job and a dime, you ride.
Stick with Tuscaloosa, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram.
TuscaloosaCDJR.com.
Plus tax and tag, visit TuscaloosaCDJR.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we're going to have a chance to feature Hugh Miller, former NFL quarterback. He's going to help us understand why this Kalen DeBoer offense is so quarterback-friendly. We're going to recap the second scrimmage of fall camp. We'll do that. Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com, Kalen DeBoer audio that you need to hear. And we'll also talk with another SEC quarterback. So two quarterbacks on The Game starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. We'll see sunshine here today on the watch for afternoon thunderstorms. Blistering hot near 100 degrees and a heat advisory up today. Feeling like 110 with a heat index and westerly breeze. Cloudy, sticky early storm chances tonight down to 75. Sunny, another round of afternoon storms tomorrow. High tomorrow 96. Bright sunshine Saturday, high 97. Richard DeWedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry. On your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker. All right, a couple questions for you as far as how these coaches handle the media. And there's more than one way to skin a cat. So I understand guys have to be who they are. And I've talked about the Alabama staff being very positive. And that may be the best thing to be. I don't know that some coaches do it that way. I ask you, if a player, say like a Ryan Williams, is having a tremendous camp, do you tell the media or do you try to keep it to try to maybe lower the expectation? Didn't have a very good year last year. He had a phenomenal freshman year. Everybody talked about him dropping balls. If he's having a great camp, do you praise him or do you try to kind of keep it on the down low a little bit and they'll figure it out once the season starts? How would you handle not just him, but a situation like that with the media?
I'd play it in the middle. I would say this. He's really working hard to improve. What I have said was that at one time he was pretty good, but he didn't have a good year last year. And so he's working really hard to improve his catches. And we're hoping that that hard work will pay off. Now, that's the way I would handle it. I didn't downplay him. I didn't cut him. I didn't brag on him. But I did say that he's working hard to improve and have a good year this year.
Some of these guys that do radio shows and fans, they hang on every word these coaches say, you know. And so I think that they're going opposite that. They're talking about he's having a phenomenal camp. You know, how much he's grown, how much he's stronger and faster he is. I mean, they're just building him up. All right, as far as talking about your unit, if you're a defense or an offense or whatever, do you, and I know where you're going to go, do you brag on them? Maybe if it's the offense and they haven't done well and everybody's beating them up, maybe you do try to be a little more positive to lift their confidence a little bit. Do you beat them down if they're doing great, or do you try to lower the expectation when you talk to the media about your particular unit there? Because people hang on every word.
I did the same thing. You know, we're comfortable with the way practice has been going. They've been giving us great effort. We've still got a lot of work to do to be the kind of football team that we need to be. But I think if the effort continues to be there, we've got a chance to really strike and strike good. So I would leave it like that as far as I wouldn't go out on the limb and put the expectation factors that we ought to win this or ought to win that. I don't think you ever ought to predict a win particularly. You can predict a win or a chance of why you're going to win to your team in the dressing room. You don't predict a win or to the public as much out, you know, we're going to win this game. You don't do that, period. But in the dressing room, there's a little bit of a different talk than there is to the public. And I think that's what I tried to do. And not that I did it right. I did a lot of things wrong, too. So I think...
You know, they beat Kalen DeBoer up from the media days at the in Tampa when they asked him about his goals here and is it to win a national championship? I don't even remember what his answer was, but they took his answer and they beat him up over it, which was, you know, I mean, what's he supposed to say? I mean, there's no right answer.
Well, they're warning him to say so they can write it the next day. I want you to read it, Barry. So so if you read what I'm going to say, that's what you're saying to themselves. Hey, I asked Coach if he's got to expect a national championship. He says, we sure hope so. He can't say that. He doesn't need to say it. You know, the question there is to try to get a good story for the guy who asked the question. That's what hacks you off about it.
Yeah.
He wants to have a good story. He wants to be able to say, and nobody else has said it. When I asked him, he said this and that. That's the way writers are. We've got one that's still working and make a lot of money over cutting people's guts out.
You know, I would, if I were those guys, I wouldn't do these impromptu press conferences out there on the field. I would want to go to the podium and I would want to have notes because I wouldn't, if a guy's doing really well, I think these parents and even the players listen to what these guys say when it comes to the position groups. Did he mention my name? And so I would have the names written down of the guys I wanted to make sure that I said were doing well or whatever. Because if you don't say somebody's name, they may take it the wrong way. And, you know, you got so many players, you get in a press conference like that, you may forget somebody or whatever. And I think these kids and I think their families – now, if they're not doing worth the crap, then you don't say anything about them. But you want to make sure you give the proper praise to the certain people. And I think that's why you got to go to these press conferences with notes to make sure you don't miss people. Do these families and these kids, they listen to this stuff, don't they, what these coaches are saying? Really? Especially now, trying to figure out where they don't really know where they stand. And they want to hear what the coach has to say about them.
Well, under the four coaches that I worked for the 32 years I was there, there were a few coaches, not many. Under each, we had four head coaches. They at times would say something to a writer who was out there going off, so that the writer would feel good about that coach, about that person, that he could come to him and he had a chance to praise him sometime in something that he did. The writer would do so because the guy did him a favor, and so when you do somebody a favor by saying, yeah, I thought so-and-so played great way today, he catches like that, we're gonna really be tough. So something like that, you have to use your brain, and you have to use your noodle to know who you're talking to and what you say. And I say it all the time, and most of our listeners don't pay any attention, but the expectation factor is what we're going through right now. We get up every day trying to find something to say about the expectations. What does AP say? What does CBS say? Where is Alabama rank with the AP versus CBS? Those kinds of things. The expectation factor. If you're ranked, Coach Saban, I can tell you, sure didn't give me crap about being ranked number one. Didn't mean nothing to him. And I tried to do the very best I could to brag on our team, but also to if we can continue and don't get anybody injured and those kinds of things. And they don't like that because it's coach speak. But, the writers are different too. So they are looking for something to write to make you read it. And that's the important thing.
One of the, and Chase, I know he hears this a lot because he hears a lot of shows. A kid they signed late as a freshman from Huntsville, Texas, Trayshawn Brown. He's a freshman running back. In his little deal, it says he chose the Crimson Tide over Arkansas State, Navy, and North Texas. Yeah. And there's been a lot of people that are talking about he's been one of the biggest surprises in the camp. So here's a guy, and I've heard a lot of praise about this kid. He's 5'10", 206 pounds or whatever. So here's a kid they've gone and found, and there's people that act like he could be possibly a starter there, that he's outperforming Crowell because he's not even on the field. And here's a guy that you didn't really count on. And he's gotten a lot of praise publicly, so good for him. But he wasn't a guy that was highly he wasn't a guy that was highly recruited.
This is evaluation. You're able to evaluate a guy who you think is, look at the quarterback at Kansas City. You're able to evaluate a guy and feel he's comfortable with your program. You like him as a player. You do that in basketball and football. You have two assistant coaches. I used to try to send out two of my assistants, and I would go to at separate times to look at a particular player. How'd you like this guy? Then compare him to the other guy. And so you hit on some and you miss on some, but there's a difference in recruiting and evaluating. If you're able to, that's what Indiana did. Indiana evaluated the players that they were going to take. They liked the guys that they were going to take. They thought the guys that they took could win with them, and they were correct. They had a good coaching staff. They had an easy schedule, just as I've mentioned, and they were able to to evaluate players who they felt like had some seasoning to them, or older kids who maybe weren't five stars, as our listeners like to hear about, but good enough to win with. And they were correct. Anytime you can take us, you know, take Indiana and go 16-17-0, you've done something correct. So I think it's recruiting is important. Being able to evaluate the guys you recruit is the real key.
No doubt. All right, let's take the break here. We'll get back, get the vinegar tip. Before we do that, though, let's tell them about, we'll talk to David tomorrow about our great friends out at Bryant Bank.
Well, Bryant Bank's a lot like what we've been talking about. You evaluate the bank that you want to go to. You decide on the bank that you want to go to, and you try to look at the variables that make you want to go to that bank. And certainly people who have been knowing that their money has been safe, that you're able to open up two accounts there, that you sort of know the people. Even though you may not even be close, you may know the Bryants from years back, then you feel more comfortable with somebody that you feel like you can talk to. And so that's the reason Bryant Bank is talked about on our radio show. We appreciate Bryant Bank, if you want to say the word, advertising on our show or being talked about on our show. But they're a very good bank, and I think that you'll be feeling good about what you have and what you can keep if you go to Bryant Bank.
All right, we'll take the break here, get back, get the vinegar tip for this Thursday, and then head you into the weekend. Got time maybe to squeeze in one or two calls, 205-342-9904. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We've had a pretty light Thursday morning thus far, and it pretty much continues with the exception of some spots that are filling in. Now, on Lurleen Wallace, that's a little thicker in the northbound lanes, mainly between 10th and 20th Street. Also, McFarland, you're going to find yourself...
Save thousands on a new Nissan, and every Women's Wednesday, get a $49.99 oil change with a complimentary multi-point inspection at Townsend Nissan. Your family in the car business.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites, from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info, 29, that's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide. 100.9.
I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good. So good. I got it.
And welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Vinegar tip brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Give Michael and his staff a call, 205-752-8500.
Well, we've been talked about microwaves. We talked about refrigerators. And not much of a tip today, but I wanted to mention at least a stove. They tell me, I don't know, because I'm not very good with the stove, but you can have a bad smell when you heat up a newly cleaned oven. So when you go in and clean your oven, not a microwave, your oven on your stove, sometimes the ladies say that the smell comes out and it's not good. So what you do here, or what they say you do, is that you clean that, you go back and you sponge that thing with undiluted vinegar. Now, I don't know the difference in undiluted particular vinegar than the other stuff, but you go in and try to take a sponge and wet it, and you get the undiluted vinegar around that stove, and get that bad smell out of there. So we talked about the microwave, how it was with a half a cup of vinegar and water. We talked about cleaning the refrigerator. And this is the last of the appliances, I guess. You may go to a washing machine or something, but the last of the appliances that are in your kitchen. So the undiluted vinegar on your stove will keep that in your stove will keep that smell going.
All right, that's your tip for this Thursday. Brought to you by who? Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500. Go to coverageforttown.com. We'll take the last break and wrap up the show. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM, WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We've had a pretty light Thursday morning thus far, and it pretty much continues with the exception of some spots that are filling in. Now, on Lure Lane Wallace, that's a little thicker in the northbound lanes, mainly between 10th and 20th Street. Also, McFarland, you're going to find yourself
probably saving a carload of cash right now. So what are you waiting for? Check Allstate first for a quote today. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Stop by on Skyland Boulevard, Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa, for those who know the difference. MercedesofTuscaloosa.com. MercedesofTuscaloosa.com.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we're going to have a chance to feature Hugh Miller, former NFL quarterback. He's going to help us understand why this Kalen DeBoer offense is so quarterback-friendly. We're going to recap the second scrimmage of fall camp. We'll do that. Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com, Kalen DeBoer audio that you need to hear. And we'll also talk with another SEC quarterback. So two quarterbacks on The Game starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. We'll see sunshine here today on the watch for afternoon thunderstorms. Blistering hot near 100 degrees and a heat advisory up today. Feeling like 110 with a heat index, a westerly breeze. Cloudy, sticky early storm chances tonight down to 75. Sunny, another round of afternoon storms tomorrow. High tomorrow 96. Bright sunshine Saturday, high 97. Richard DeWedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Back to Inside the Locker Room. Right, the top 50 will play the BMW today. It's out in St. Louis, Missouri, the BMW Championship. Actually, first off the tee this morning, 9:03, Justin Thomas will tee off. He's playing with the Goddess. Scheffler is around always in the afternoon. I know those tee times will flip tomorrow. If I gave you Scheffler or the field, you would probably take the field, I'm sure. But what are your thoughts about this BMW Classic? And no cut. Everybody gets paid. Now, Justin Thomas got a lot of work to do to make it to Atlanta. But Just your thoughts about what will happen today.
Well, according to the best I can tell, Barry, the 22 of them that are going to be of the 30 that are going, the 22 of them pretty much locked in to go. JT is needs to play well, and if you take you just can't take one player against the field because golf's too unpredictable to know exactly what's going to happen. So it should be very interesting to see if anybody can move. You know, Carly may, Bud may move, able to move in, and we'll see what happens there. So a lot of money involved. It's gone from, you know, the 70 to the 50 and now to the 30. And when they get to Atlanta, it'll be very interesting.
Yeah, I think I heard Justin Thomas would have to have a top four finish to move on to Atlanta. So he's got some work to do. And so he really can't have a bad day. So he needs to come out firing this morning. But he'll be the first guy off the tee box today. So I know if we had a TV in here, Chase, we could watch it. Gary's going to be mad at me. He told me I was in charge of getting this TV fixed up here. But we ain't got it fixed. So you'll have to watch it on the computer if he knows how to do that. But it should be a good day of golf. These guys are all I've had great years, or they wouldn't be in St. Louis, so it should be fun. All right, that's it for today's show. We'll get out of here. We'll make way for the Gary Harris Show. Tomorrow we'll have Coach Jack Crow. We always enjoy Coach. We'll have David Kindred in the second hour, so we look forward to visiting with all you guys. Have a great weekend. Have a great day. Got one more day, right, Chase? The weekend's not tomorrow. It starts tomorrow. All right, you're listening to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.